Grace Point Church Podcast. This is a podcast where you're hearing sermon audio from Pastor Ben Hill, the pastor of Grace Point Church. In this episode, Pastor Ben begins his sermon series, Who Do You Say I Am? This is part one. Let's listen in.
Who do you say I am? Who do you say I am? What a question. As we're leading up to the Easter Sunday, it's a question that we're going to ask ourselves, and we're going to look at folks from Scripture and who they saw him as, and we're going to base our own understanding of him and hopefully bolster the conviction that we have of who he is as we lead up to Resurrection Sunday. Who is Jesus? Who is he? Put yourself in the position of the folks during the time when Jesus walked the earth, born of a virgin, raised as a carpenter's son, then goes down and begins to heal people, to speak truth, and to have wisdom that just blew everybody away. Who is Jesus? Well, this morning we're looking at Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 16, verses 13 through 18. And the message that I've titled, Con Crazy or Christ? Who is Jesus? Con? Crazy? Or Christ? And I pray that we'll see things from that perspective.
We were walking by the gates of hell, not the literal gates of hell, but the ones in Caesarea Philippi, where the pagan worshippers had their idols. We're walking by, and we're nervous. Our hearts are beating out of our chest because we're Jewish men. This is not our place. We don't fit in. We're wondering why we're there. Jesus stops, and he looks at us, and he just asks this question. Who do people say I am? We think our Bartholomew, he spoke up. Bart said, some people say John the Baptist. Someone else, I don't remember who it was, said, some people say a prophet. Someone else said Elijah. And then Jesus just interrupts us. And he says, what about you? Who do you say I am? That's a big question. You don't want to get this one wrong. So we're all sitting there in awkward silence. And Peter just starts pointing. Nothing's coming out of his mouth, just pointing. And then it just came out. You are Christ. And Jesus just smiles. He smiled. Anyway, that's what I noticed. That the whole time we've been talking, Jesus had been digging in the dirt. He would do that. He stands up and he's got this stone in his hand. I'm paraphrasing, but he basically said, you're right. I'm the Christ. And then he looked at Peter and he said, you're the rock. Rock on which to build my church. A church that will be so strong that not even the gates of hell will prevail against it. So, who do I say he is? I saw things that to this day I can't explain. I experienced a love so deep that it changes you from the inside out. He is the Christ. And like he said, he's coming back to rescue us. And nothing can stop him. Nothing. Not even the gates of hell can stop him.
There we go. Matthew 16, verses 13 through 18.
Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." It's interesting to me that this is the point in time in the soliloquy of the gospel, in the gospels, in the life of Christ, in the ministry of Christ. This is when Jesus has the big reveal, if you will, as to who he really is. It's interesting to me that he does it with his disciples, but where does he choose to do it? He chooses to do it at a place called Caesarea Philippi, and it's a place that was known as the gates of hell. Look at this picture. This is where we had the privilege of being last year. But this is where this place is. It is the northern part of Israel, Caesarea Philippi. Caesarea Philippi had been formerly called Panias, which means life of Pan or place of Pan. Pan was a Greek god. In Greek mythology, Pan, the Greek god, was the god of the shepherds, if you will, and he was a god that took the form of half man and half goat.
Yep.
And half man and half goat, and because of, according to the mythology, something that he did, and he had a love interest, and then the love interest, the other god, went to Zeus, the god, and said, I want to be away from him, so he turned her into reeds, and then he got angry, or Pan got angry, so he chopped down the reeds, and then he felt remorse, and so as he was crying over he breathed into the reeds, and music came out, and so then he was pictured as this half-man, half-goat, playing a flute, something that we now know and call the Pan flute.
Yep.
You ever seen the Pan flute?
Yep.
Yeah, that's where it came from. That's where the legend is that it came from. And it's here at this place called the Gates of Hell. What's interesting about that? Well, if you notice, that's the cave. This is at the base of Mount Hermon, and it's a place where it's an oasis, if you will, and there was a river or a spring that came out of the cave, all right, and this tributary that fed into the River Jordan. The Greeks believed that caves like this, that were the source of water, was an entrance into the underworld. Okay, so this was a very pagan-dominated place. We're at the northern part of Israel at the time, and it was a place that was known, even in the time of Christ, it was known as the gates of hell. You ever wondered about the whole terminology here in this passage, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it? Isn't it interesting that Jesus had chosen this as the backdrop in order to share that story? If you look here, you'll see a picture coming from the other direction, or from the side over here. And what you see here are the ruins of what would have been a palace erected to the god Pan, and then another one, Panias, which was also other pagan interest. You also have in this place, if you see over here, you have this area where they had carved out of the rock places where pagan idols were. So you can still walk up on that today and you can look in and see the hollowed out places where they used to have idols or pagan idols so that people could come and worship there. This is the place that Jesus comes. This is the place he brings his disciples. Think about the discomfort they must have felt. They're Jewish men and they're coming into this bastion of pagan worship. Even in that day, they would have felt out of place. It would have been uncomfortable. And Jesus takes them to the edge of that and then asks them this question, "But who do you say I am?" This is the sanctuary of Pan. It's an artist's rendering of what it might have looked like based on the remnants of the ruins that they found. And you would see here that there would have been coming through this palace, this place erected for Pan would have been the water, and that you see flowing out there today would have come through that because it was the birthplace of life, if you will, and so that's where, and also the place of death, where you go to the underworld. So, with that said, Jesus comes and asks this question. Who do you say? Who do people say I am? And then he asks, who do you say I am? And when we think about that, the question today is just as relevant as it was then. Amen? People will still need to face and answer that question. Not a single one of us are going to escape this life or the consequences of this life and then moving into the next life without having addressed and answered that question. Who do you say, Jesus says, that I am? The only possibilities would be con, crazy, or Christ. You say, Pastor, what in the world are you talking about? We're going to spend the balance of our time looking at that, how I believe those are the only three possibilities. In his book, Mere Christianity, the author, Christian author and theologian and philosopher and just about everything, C.S. Lewis, writes the following. I'm trying here to prevent anyone saying the really foolish things that people often say about him. I'm ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept his claim to be God. That is one thing we must not say. A man who was merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on a level with the man who says he is a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool, you can spit at him and kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come with any patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us. He did not intend it. Who do you say I am? Con, crazy, or Christ? Well, first of all, the only possibilities. Possibility number one, Jesus was the world's greatest con man. You know, it's been said that Jesus just was a con, and he was trying his best to gather a bunch of people to follow him, to confuse folks, and to cause them to follow a myth. It's been said, and there are people today that still try to argue that Jesus was just a con. Jesus really didn't live as the Son of God. He really is not the one who died and was resurrected. As a matter of fact, they would say today that he is still in the grave. And that the only reason why people believe he was resurrected is because he had planted the seed in their heart and mind before he died. And so then they followed through with that. And on a myth, they continue to perpetuate the lie. Folks, I've got a question for you. Is that even, as C.S. Lewis said, is that even possible, or is the thought of it just so preposterous that it doesn't make sense? Well, I would submit to you that it's the latter. And here's why. Because the world's greatest con man, how many people do you know that have been conned or been con men, and the lie and the myth and their con last for thousands of years? I mean, think about the lives that have been changed. Think about the wars that have been fought. Think about the societies that have been founded and then crumbled, and all the things that have happened in history based on the person of the Son of God and the life of Jesus Christ. Could it possibly be said that he was just a con? And think about it from this perspective. When he began to tell the world who he was, when he began to reveal the reality that he is the Christ, of all the things that you would take and choose in a fiercely monotheistic society, which Israel was at that time, why would he have chosen the one thing that would be the most controversial and the most dangerous to his own well-being to be the thing that he claimed as the truth? I'm here to tell you, folks, that the world will try to tell you, upside down and down the other, that Jesus didn't really do what he did, said he did. He didn't really believe what he said he believed. And he really wasn't who he says he is. And how many times have you heard it said, as C.S. Lewis mentioned, that, oh, Jesus is a great teacher. He's a great moral leader. Well, I have a question about that. If Jesus, who said he is the Son of God, if Jesus is who he claimed to be, or isn't who he claimed to be, then he is a liar. He's a fraud. He's a con man of the greatest proportion, of the greatest order. How then could he at the same time be a great moral leader? The things don't go together. It's incongruent. It doesn't fit. How could he be a great teacher, but then lie about who he was? And if anybody would carefully and honestly read the scripture, they cannot come away with anything other than the recognition that Jesus made no bones about it. He pulled no punches. He said, I am the Christ. My Father and I are one. I am He. I am the great I am. No man comes to the Father but by me, Jesus said. I am the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus said. The only possibility is to think that he could be the world's greatest con man, but I would submit that anybody that has any intelligence or any honesty with themselves at all would have to come away from that going, yeah, that really can't be the case. How? Could that many people, for that many years, be that fooled to believe a man? Don't think so. So number two, certifiably crazy then. If he's not the world's greatest con man, then maybe he's just certifiably crazy. Maybe he's just loco. And how many people have you seen and you've noticed or you've read about or you've heard or you've had the misfortune of being around that really just doesn't have it all together, and they don't really believe. I mean, they don't see things cognitively like we do, right? You ever come across someone like that? They really can't see things, and they have this paranoid idea that they are perhaps somebody that they really aren't. Maybe that's the case. I read another theologian that made the comment about that, you know, that it would be easier to believe somebody would actually think that they were a butterfly instead of a person than somebody thinking they're actually the Son of God and not really the Son of God. But needless to say, could Jesus have been just crazy? Well, the evidence, I believe, clearly says no. And here's why. When you read the Gospels, when you read Scripture, and you see the things that Jesus did, and you see the evidences of history that lay out who he was as a person, there's no question that Jesus lived. There's no question that it's not a made-up story. He was an actual person. The history is clear. The historians of the day have made it clear that he was a person actually living and breathing with a follower. No question. When we see that and we see his interaction with other people, what becomes evident is that Jesus was a man of great wisdom, right? I mean, nobody could argue the fact that he knew the Word, he knew Scripture, and he was wise in how he dealt with things and he dealt with people. So he really didn't act like a crazy man by any means. We also see that he dealt with people with great compassion and love and kindness. He certainly wasn't so self-absorbed with him and so focused on himself in either a con or a lie or just being nutsoid. It just is not evidenced in his life. But then consider with me as well, how many times did Jesus interact with other people, and then seeing them, he would look out and he would hear and know what they were thinking if they didn't even open their mouth? Certainly not the act of a crazy person, right? So Jesus could not have been certifiably crazy. The evidence of Scripture is far too strong. The evidence of history is far too strong. He was not those things. But you see, if you believe that Jesus is and was a person who died after having healed folks and seen people coincidentally just get fatter because they were around him and all those things. If you believe that, and then he died, you can't believe that he was a good moral teacher, because all through the process he was lying if it were not true. Right? All through the process, he was cunning, if it were not true. All through the process, even if you believe the second, he was just a little bit crazy. But I would say the evidence of that is far too overwhelming. That Jesus came for a purpose. He came with a mandate. He came from the Father. So the third becomes this. The only other possibility, either he was con, he was crazy, or he is the Christ, the Lord and Savior of the world. Let's go back to our scripture, if you have it there in front of you. It says that Jesus asked the question in verse 13, who do people say the Son of Man is? I love the way he introduced it to them that way, because it would have caused them to stop and think, okay, well, here's what I've heard. And you could almost hear them kind of reciting, well, we've heard Jeremiah, we've heard Elijah, some say John the Baptist, yeah, all these things. And then Jesus says, okay, I got you thinking about that, but now I'm going to bring it back and send it home. Here's what I'm going to ask you then. Who do you say that I am? See, it's interesting to me that Jesus does this in this place called the gates of hell. He asks them this question, and he starts out by asking what other people say. Folks, do you realize that in the church and that as believers, it is so tempting, and I'm afraid that we spend so much time thinking about what other people believe, thinking about what other people might think, thinking about what other people might think they think that others think. You get my point? We spend so much time diverting ourselves into thinking about other people and other people's relationship with the Lord and other people's belief in Christ. We spend so much time and so much energy trying to focus on that perhaps we miss the most critical question, and that's when Jesus peers in starkly and personally into our very being and ask this question, but who do you say I am? Who do you say I am? You see, if I'm going to answer that question, if you're going to answer that question, it requires one thing, first and foremost. It requires to not be concerned about what anybody else thinks. I remember the time in my life when I reached a place where no longer could I view Jesus, God, Scripture, eternal life, all of life, I could no longer view it through the lens of my parents and my mom and dad. I knew what they stood for. I knew what they said. I knew what they claimed. I knew what they taught. I knew what they lived. But there had to come a point in my life where I stopped trying to view who Jesus was based on what others had said, and I answered the question for myself, who do you say I am? Thank God, based on the evidence of Scripture, based on the strength of the Word, and based on the leadership and the interpretation and the quickening of the Holy Spirit of God, I came to the stark, firm realization that He is the Christ. Jesus is the Son of God. He is the sacrificed Savior. He is the risen Lord. He is the only hope for all who believe. is the gateway, not to hell, but to heaven. He is the resurrection. He is alive. Who do you say he is? Perhaps I've told you this story before, but I know not everybody's heard it, but I had a dear friend in Dallas, and we lived there, and he was actually from the Ukraine. And he was an interesting character. He was very high up. He was a pilot in the Russian Air Force. And he tells a story of when he was battling in Afghanistan, when the Russians were all those years in Afghanistan. And he was flying his plane, a fighter jet. And as he was flying the fighter jet, he came under attack, and he was outnumbered. And he said he's coming under attack. It was from the firing of flak or whatever it is from the ground, and the bullets firing, and from other planes coming in. He was in a dogfight. He said it was the most harrowing time of his life. Bullets were ripping through the cockpit and the fuselage. And he remembers saying a prayer. God, if you are a God, and if there is a God. Remember, he'd been raised in communist Russia, in the Russian territory. If you are there and if you are real, get me out of this. He said he was spared, and he made it back, and he was discharged from the military, and didn't take long for him to stop even thinking about that anymore, because life was just going along swimmingly, right? He said there was a big turning point in his life, and it seemed so innocuous at the time. It was in Russia, it was in the Ukraine, lots of snow for a long time in the year. And he and a friend were driving along, and they were just cutting up and having a good time. They looked out on a field and they saw a snowman that somebody had built. You don't build a snowman, you make a snowman, right? Or whatever. They had constructed a snowman. They made a snowman. Sitting out in this field. And they said, and evidently it had snowed since it had been made, and the wind had blown and drifts had blown, so there was this snowman out there in this middle of this field, but then all around it was just smooth white snow. Not a single footprint could be seen. He made a comment about that. Look at that snowman. How did that snowman get there? Nobody did it. Nobody, you can't see where they built it. Ah. And his friend laughed and said, oh, that's evolution. The snowman just became. See, he laughed about that. But the absurdity of it all just kind of stuck in his brain. He said, I have no idea why that simple little statement of a snowman in the middle of a field with no footprints around it kind of caused this question in my mind. So he says he began to like stew over that and wonder about it. Couldn't get it out of his head. So he did the only thing that he needed to do, and he went to the library. I went to the library. I wanted to research about this whole evolution, how this thing could be. Somebody had to make it, right? So he goes to the library, and remember, he's in
Russia,
full-blown Cold War, communist era, where the whole effort had been to stamp out Christianity and faith. But in the library, they had books that he began to read. And he said the crazy thing about it, the books that he were reading were sanctioned by the government because they were books that were discounting and discrediting and trying to tear down the veracity of Christianity. And in the process, he began to read them. And he said, and then they would quote from the Bible. And he said, and I began to realize as I read this book that the only words that had any meaning and real meaning or power were the words that were quoted from the scripture. Crazy thing is, you know what he did? He said, from the books that were trying to disprove Christianity, he read the word of God as it was printed and reprinted in those books. And based on what he read in those books from scripture, he was convicted from above, and he dropped to his knees and he asked Jesus to come into his heart and life and save him. He asked for forgiveness. He repented and became a child of God. Amen. Reading books that were trying to say God wasn't.
Amen.
Free.
God deserves a hand.
What a story, huh? The rest of the story is that he then began to look and find trying to find a family of faith to get to grow more. Well, guess what? The only church was underground.
That's right.
And here he was. He had been a high-ranking official in the military. Yeah, they were very suspicious. But he said he finally got a friend who built trust. He began to worship in the cover of darkness in an underground church. And he says, and I held for the first time a handwritten copy of the Gospel of John.
Wow.
And I began to read. I began to learn. But it turns out that he became very instrumental in the church, and when things began to change a little bit and the curtain began, the whole Soviet structure began to crumble a little bit, the folks in his church raised money to send him to America, where he came and enrolled in the Moody Bible Institute. Couldn't speak any English. He came and he learned. He graduated. Now he's back there leading ministries all over the Ukraine and leading people to Jesus. Isn't that an awesome story?
Yeah.
But you see, he would have said at first he would have thought Jesus was a con man because that's what he was taught. He would have thought Jesus was just crazy because, you know, nobody could claim to be what he claimed to be and have any sense whatsoever. I mean, come on. Right? This whole idea that God made everything. He began to see differently. He realized that he is the Christ, Lord and Savior of the world. See, the question that you have to ask yourself today is this. Jesus looks, and it looks clearly at you, and he asks the question, who do you say? Jesus told the disciples, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It was at the backdrop of a place that was symbolic for pagan worship, symbolic for the enemies of heaven itself. And he said, nothing will stop what I've established here. Peter, you are the rock. On this, the reality that I am the Christ, my church will remain. I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. Think this morning what your answer to this question would be. Who do you say I am? Who do you say I am? In the back of your mind, if you always had this kind of thought that says, you know, I know Jesus said what he said, but, you know, is it really true? Was he really just trying to find and seek power and recognition and all that stuff? Was he really just full of himself? Or is he really who he says? Or maybe you think that Jesus, you know, he was a good guy. He just was misguided or just a little bit crazy. I mean, I don't say he was a good guy. He just didn't know. He wasn't really trying to lie. He wasn't really trying to con. It just, God's calling me. He really wasn't, you know, Or have you come to the place where all you've ever heard about him has reached the pinnacle of understanding? And has that understanding pierced your own heart with the truth? Peter revealed that day, you are the Christ. I'm here to tell you this day that every one of us will one day be faced with the consequence of how we answer that question. If you answer it that you are the Christ, and I receive you as Christ, and I repent of the sin of my life, and I ask you to forgive me, in that process, be born again, saved by God from our own consequence of sin. That's our answer. We will spend eternity in heaven. But if we walk away with simply thinking, yeah, that's what other people say, but you know what? To me, he might just be a good guy that was misguided. Or maybe he's really was just a con man and was on some power trip. If we answer in that way, when this life comes to an end, there'll be no glory in heaven. We will walk through the literal gates of heaven. So if you're here today and you've never trusted the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you've never given your heart to Him, and when you understand that who you are, I want to ask you this question. Will you walk away today still comfortable in that decision? Or will you choose against yourself and say, I see Jesus as the Christ, my Savior, my Lord? If you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, today you would say, I choose to believe that Jesus is Lord. And I ask Him to forgive me of my sin and turn into my life. If that's who you are and where you are this day, nobody else is looking around in this room but me. I wonder if you would just simply raise your hand and indicate, I need to trust Him. I need to believe. Anyone? All right, second. Those of us that know Him as Lord and Savior, I wonder how we live our lives day to day. Do we live our lives ignoring what Jesus said as if He were just kind of a loose cannon lunatic? Or do we live our lives as if He is Lord by living our lives according to what He has called us to be and to do? If you're like me, there's evidences every day, it seems, that I'm not living like Jesus is Lord. I'm living like Dennis. If that's the case, then today you would say, I choose this day to say, God in heaven, please hear my heart and help me to be more than just a believer and Christian in name only. Help me to be, to live every day like you're Lord. If that's what you would say, would you raise your hand? Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. We thank you for your goodness and your grace. And we thank you for the reality that you are who you say you are. And we thank you for the affirmation in your word. And we thank you for the affirmation of your own voice as you ask the question, who do you say I am? And God, I pray that you would continue to help us to grow in grace and wisdom and knowledge of who you are. God, I pray that you would help all those that raise their hand, all of us, to live a life that would more clearly and completely reveal you as Lord to the lost and dying. We love you. Praise you, and we thank you for who you are. We trust you this day in Jesus' name.
Listening to the Grace Point Church podcast. To find out more information about Grace Point Church, go to our website at www.gracepointsc.org. You can also like us on Facebook at Grace Point Church SC, follow us on Twitter at Grace Point SC, Instagram Grace Point Simpsonville, Snapchat, and LinkedIn. You can also listen to Pastor Ben's other sermons on YouTube or subscribe to this podcast. Thank you for listening.